Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back. Well, we're spending a few minutes on the surprising election results in Venezuela. Nicolas Maduro, the handpicked successor to the late Hugo Chavez, only eking out a win yesterday, barely defeating his opponent, Enrique Capriles, who says he wants a recount. We just heard the BBC comparing it to Bush-Gore 2000. Now let's get a reporter's notebook from NPR's Steve Inskeep. You probably know, reporting all last week from Venezuela. And Steve, I can't help but think today about the people you met who whispered to you that they were voting for the opposition.
Oh, yeah. We were in a neighborhood that is traditionally connected to Hugo Chavez, the late president of Venezuela. It's actually the area in which his body is now, in a tomb flanked by an honor guard. Lots of Chavez supporters there. Those Chavez supporters were called upon to vote for his chosen successor, Nicolas Maduro. Yeah, we heard people who were saying, you know, I'm going to vote for the opposition guy, Capriles, but I can't say anything because there's this, you know, militia that kind of runs the neighborhood, and they're Chavez militia. And I just can't say too much.
Well, another exchange was telling. It was in your talk with the well-known satirist Laureano Marquez. He had to cancel your first interview with the best excuse I'm sure you have ever heard. He had been kidnapped.
I'm sorry to laugh, but he was laughing all the way through the experience as well.
He was.
Yeah, an amazing guy to talk to. And yes, I think that it reveals something about the state of Venezuela specifically and Latin America more broadly right now. This is a country where there are tens of thousands of homicides in a year, and it's not that big a country. This is a country where the number of kidnappings has been increasing every year. And maybe it's not quite routine, but it is routinely on people's minds. It was something that the late Hugo Chavez didn't exactly ignore. I had a long conversation while I was there with a police official talking about a long list of police reforms that they've been trying to do. But Chavez did not pay the kind of attention to that issue that he did to other issues. Not that much has been done yet. And both candidates had to address this huge concern of the public that had kind of been pushed aside in past years.
Well, I was thinking as well, even the kidnappers of an opposition leader, which, you know, Marquez was an opposition voice, even when they sit down with him and start complaining about the government, you know, you have trouble. I mean, even they were dissatisfied.
They were on both sides of the issue, according to Laureano Marquez. Now, he is a satirist, so maybe there's a little bit of creativity in this account, but I believe it. Two kidnappers, one of whom was for the government candidate and the other of whom was for the opposition candidate, but they managed to set aside their differences and work together for a life of crime. Kind of an inspiring example in Marquez's telling. But it also points to the divisions in society. This is a deeply polarized country. And now that Chavez is dead, the divisions remain. And we sure did see that in the election results.
Well, I was going to ask you about that because you mentioned militias. Do you think there will be payback for the people who voted for the opposition?
Well, I don't know. It depends on whether people are able to find that out. There was an incident in the early 2000s in which millions of people signed petitions to recall President Hugo Chavez, and the government made arrangements to publicize those names. And there have since been studies where people have explored how many people lost their jobs because they signed a petition to get rid of Hugo Chavez. But with that said, this was a secret ballot. The opposition insisted that it was going to be a secret ballot as well as the government. So we don't know that it's going to be known how individuals voted specifically. But we do know that it's a deeply divided society that now is going to go through a tense period here, I suppose.
So, and what does happen as they go forward and beyond this tense period? Chavez elevated many of the poor when he nationalized businesses and a lot of land. Then came mismanagement, corruption. His opponents claim he squandered the country's oil monies. How do you see Venezuela going forward?
I think there are so many possibilities here. If this country manages to get a little more stable political situation, a government that is able to use resources efficiently, there is so much potential. We do not know precisely what Nicolas Maduro, assuming that he is affirmed as remaining president of Venezuela, we do not know precisely what his approach to the United States will be. His rhetoric during the campaign was extraordinarily anti-American, even more so than President Chavez. He even blamed the Americans for Chavez's death. At the same time, the New York Times is reporting, Robin, that Maduro's people have been telling Americans that they'd like to a sort of a reset. They'd like a different relationship with the United States. And if there is one, it does open a lot of possibilities. For example, deals with American oil and gas companies, energy companies. Now, whatever you think of those companies, whatever you think of Venezuela, whether you support or oppose the Venezuelan experiment in partially socialized government, it creates the possibility that Venezuela could have a lot more money coming in, which might create opportunities to improve the lives of its people in a lot of creative and interesting ways.
Well, it's interesting because Venezuela does have a huge oil industry, but we've also been reading how Venezuela was starting to buy natural gas from the U.S., which has started unearthing its gas. And so that relationship flipping a little. And I just have to mention, people here in Boston, very familiar with Chavez through Joe Kennedy's oil program for the poor, his ads making a big deal about how the oil for the poor was from the people of Venezuela, a dig, of course, at the U.S. government. And Chavez also fixed the famed Citgo sign here. It's this huge, beautiful, iconic retro neon sign that had fallen into disrepair. He fixed it. And so there are some avenues already, but they were built on almost a taunting of the U.S.
Oh, sure. And you can understand that. You can understand the historic resentment of many people in Latin America to the United States, which they perceived as an overweening neighbor, as a bully in many instances. And there is a deep-rooted distrust at the same time that there is a deep-rooted attraction to the United States. And Chavez capitalized on that. And he sent